from the Premier League. It's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. With just four fixtures to feast on in FPL this week, are you targeting Tottenham or all in for Arsenal? Your Game Week 30 preview awaits on the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Hello, happy Thursday. Once again, the official Fantasy Premier League podcast coming to you as soon as we could, hot off the press after Arsenal versus Liverpool and Brighton against Spurs, with Everton and their game against Newcastle still to come after we record. But there's still plenty for us to look back on. And of course, we have the slightly trickier blank Game Week 30 to get our heads around. So fortunately, I've gathered some rather brainy sorts to do just that. Oh no, Julian Laurens has been booked once again. Who's done that?
Yeah,
morning,
yeah,
Jules.
The brains. Hi, Kelly. Hi, everyone.
Only joking, Jules. You are, of course, the man we give credit for helping Aaron Ramsdale become the most owned keeper in FPL. And Tom Williams is also back with us coming from France. Hello, Tom.
Morning, Kelly.
Yes, in a lovely hotel room on the floor, all glamour here on the FPL. Oh,
honestly, living the absolute dream. I've got a little paper cup on the floor next to me. Living the dream.
Living the dream indeed. And finally, also welcome back to our expert FPL families, Sam Bonfield, who's just sitting at her usual place at her desk in her football-themed office.
Hi, Kelly. Good morning, everyone.
Yes, well, double game week 29 saw six sides play twice, with Everton and Newcastle still to play later. Here are some of the headlines. Let's start with Liverpool and last night, because again, Mo Salah was the most captained. He scored in their first game at Brighton, but was then benched due to injury against Arsenal in midweek. Two clean sheets though, so actually Joel Matip and Andy Robertson were the highest scorers of the game week. Sam, you had Trent Alexander-Arnold, like many managers do, 13 points for him. That wasn't the way we expected the game week to go, was it?
No, I mean, I must admit, I played Trent on the basis that I thought he might get some attacking returns rather than defensive ones. But, you know, I'll absolutely take the 13 points that he brought in. But I was surely expecting Arsenal would score against him, particularly in that game.
69 points for you, though, so far. Are you happy with that?
I mean, I'm not thrilled, to be honest. I think it's been a couple of game weeks of not so great returns for me. I don't know. I think a lot of the 50-50 calls that a lot of FPL managers have been facing in recent weeks have just not gone my way. So having Son over Kulusevski, having Rudiger over James, all of those things have kind of been 50-50 calls that just haven't worked out in the end. But this is the beginning of a turnaround. Jules is laughing.
I love the optimism.
You've got to be positive, Jules. You know, and I think going into game week 30, I've got plenty of the key players that will be needed. With a -4, I can have most of them. And then, you know, it's wildcard time after that when everything gets better.
Oh, yes. The chips that we still have that can literally change your season. We'll probably be talking about wildcards on next week's podcast. So do tune in if, like Sam, you're planning on wildcarding. Jules, let's talk a little bit about Spurs, shall we? Because they were understandably very popular this week with their double. And of course, they play in blank game week 30. Cristiano Ronaldo sport the party a bit at the weekend with his hat trick, giving him 17 points. Two goals, though, for your boy, Harry Kane, across Spurs' two fixtures, and two assists for Dejan Kulusevski. They got 14 and 11 points respectively, and you had the foresight to captain Kulusevski.
Yeah, I wanted to try something a bit different. I knew that a lot of people would captain Mo Salah with double game week as well. Kulusevski got just one more points. Kane would still have been the best choice because he got three more points than Kulusevski did. I've been really impressed by Kulusevski and how well he's adapted to the Premier League, to Spurs, and to Antonio's contest tactics, really. So I thought this is the good time to bring him in and captain him. Yeah, I was at the United game and he could easily have had another assist, maybe even another goal, which would have obviously taking his points tally even higher up. Against Brighton, maybe not as good overall than I thought against United, but still very, very impressed, I think, by how well he's done. And I think going forward, he's definitely someone that I would rather have instead of Heung-min Son. I know this is going to come back and haunt me, but certainly he looks more in form right now than
this Heung-min is his Son. Week. This is his week. This is his week. You wait. He's going to go mad against West Ham. You wait.
You wish. You wish, that's for sure. He got you 2 points this week or something. So, yeah.
He got five. 5 because he played both games.
But I'm sure we're going to have the Kulusevski versus Son and Kane and everything debate in the second section. Now, Tom, you had Matt Doherty, 7 points for him. He was your transfer this week because, of course, Ryan Sessegnon was injured. You also have Willock and Dubravka still to play. You're on 76 points, so a solid game week. But the thing that jumped out at me, I really felt for you, 30 points on your bench.
Thanks, Kelly. I appreciate your sympathy. I mean, 76 points is far from disgraceful, but I feel like I can't actually believe how underwhelming a game week I'm having compared to almost every other mini league manager that I know, because all of a sudden everyone else seems to have Dejan Kulusevski and everyone else seems to have taken a punt on Andy Robertson or Joel Matip, except for me. And I played my second wild card in the double game week 28. And the idea was that would set me up for double game week 28 and double game week 29 and blank game week that we've got coming up in game week 30. And I would literally just be able to sit back, put my feet up and watch the points flood in. That is not what's happened. And to compound matters, I've got 30 points on my bench this week. So I basically need Joe Willock to get lost on the way to Goodison Park or stuck in a lift or something if I'm going to get Connor Cody's 14 points off my bench. Because otherwise, it's looking like quite an underwhelming game week for me.
I don't think 76 points is too bad. But of course, if you had your 30 points on, then you would have been over 100. But let's not dwell on that. Also, at this point, a word for both Ivan Toney and Cucho Hernandez, two players that we haven't mentioned on the podcast much recently. They both got braces to give them 12 points. Toney, remember, does play this week. I'm sure we'll talk about him a little bit later on. Some other news to bring you before we move on to game week 30. More double game weeks. Burnley and Everton will play twice in 31 and 10 teams will play twice in game week 33, though that is due to be played across the weekend of the FA Cup semi-final. So that will likely change once this weekend's quarterfinals have taken place. Looking at our FPL mini league then, there's been a big change at the top. Our new leader is aptly called a winning 11, managed by Nelson Oshard, who scored 121 points to jump to first in the league. Sorry, Money Mace. I've been saying for weeks now, Money Mace, it feels weird not to say him. If you do want to join our league, it's not too late. The code is 1KIKS7. For now though, on to our blank game week 30 preview. Just the four fixtures taking place in game week 30 then, due to the FA Cup quarterfinals. The four Premier League games we have to look forward to are, starting on Friday, Wolves welcome Leeds, then just one game on Saturday as Aston Villa host Arsenal, both sides looking to bounce back from defeats. On Sunday, Leicester welcome Brentford, the Bees looking to make it three wins in a row, and then we end with a London derby between Spurs and West Ham, with the two teams both in the race for the top four and both locked on 48 points going into it. So, just four fixtures. Firstly, Sam, how would you recommend managers approach this game week?
So normally, I think we would go into a game week like this thinking you have to free here, you need to be able to get a full team out. But the problem is with this time around, there's not that many standout options that people don't already have in their team. So the likes of Harry Kane and Kulusevski, up until he got injured, the likes of Jarrod Bowen, they were already in people's FPL teams. You know, Aston Villa have been incredibly popular picks because they had a double game week a few weeks ago. Likewise with Arsenal for their double game week that they've just played in 29. So lots of these players very heavily owned already, which means that there's not a lot of scope for kind of really differentiating your team. So I don't think it's necessary to play a free here. And I think if you've got somewhere around 8 or 9 players out, as long as they're the key ones, you're probably fine to just play through it and keep that free hit chip for a later double game week.
Thanks. I'm glad you've said that because that's exactly what I'm going to be doing. I'm currently only 9 players as well. Now, we also asked our Twitter followers their plans and if they'd be using their free hit. 42.1% said yes and 57.9% said no. Jules, I'm not sure if you voted in that poll, but you are using your free hit. What pushed you to do that?
Yeah, because I only have 5 players. I mean, Dean getting injured was in that purpose was a bit of a blow, because obviously with Villa playing at the weekend, it would have been in the team. So it would be too hard, I think, to put a good team together. So because I don't have the planning that, for example, you and Sam have, I'm glad I don't have the planning that Tom has, because clearly it's a mess. But certainly I was not, you know, prepared enough maybe to not have to play anything for that game week 30 and all the blank games. So I would go for the free hit. I'm really happy and try to find the little players who maybe are not too popular, but who can score well. So I'll have to be good to make that free hit count. Because I completely hear what Sam says, though. I mean, ideally, you want to keep it for later on in the season, but I don't think I've got much choice, to be fair.
Tom, you're also not playing yours. We asked on Twitter for those not using the free hit, how many players managers planned on having? This was a bit more split. The majority, 32.3%, said 8 or 9, which is exactly what Sam said then. How many players have you currently got?
I've currently got 9, but I'm planning at least one transfer. I think I'll probably end up going into this game week with 10 players. And as Sam said, I think if you look at those fixtures, what you're always looking for in FPL fixtures are games where there's a very clear favourite, you know, a Man City or a Liverpool or a Chelsea playing a team at the bottom of the table, and you can be sure they'll keep a clean sheet, rack up lots of points. I feel like all of these games are quite balanced. You've got teams who would ordinarily be favoured going up against teams who found a bit of form, for example, which makes it harder to target from a free hit perspective. So yeah, I think I'll probably have 10 players going into this game week. And I think as long as you've got, you know, 9 and above, you should be okay. But, you know, even having said that, you know, obviously if you're free hitting and there's an opportunity to pick out differentials, then, you know, you can still put a decent score together. But I don't see too many teams returning with mammoth scores this week, even if, you know, you're playing your free hit.
Sam, if managers had 2 of their free hits left, because everyone on the panel today only has 1 of them, would you say it's easier or it makes sense to use it this week?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the second one makes a lot of sense to be used in and around game week 33, where we know that there's going to be what looks like quite a substantial double game week, although, as you mentioned earlier, the FA Cup will affect that. So it makes sense to use one there. But if you've got 2, there's not really necessarily going to be another standout area to use it. So you might as well maximise your potential returns for this week. I just think if you've only got 1, the potential points returns you can get in a double way outscore what you could get this week.
And can I just say, as someone who has previously tended to use free hits in game weeks like this, where there's only a handful of fixtures, it's actually quite exciting to not use them and to just keep it in your back pocket in the knowledge of the bumper double game weeks to come. I say that having completely mismanaged the current double game week 29, you know, maybe I shouldn't back myself to score too many points when I do eventually deploy my free hit. But just and again, I feel like I talk about this quite a lot from like a psychological perspective, knowing you've still got that free hit to come, that does you good. So I'm very much part of the sort of proactive, aggressive free hit camp these days.
Okay, so let's focus in now on which teams to target in this game week by fixture. We're going to start with a team very popular, Spurs. Jules, are you going to go for 3 from Spurs, do you think?
Yeah, I will do indeed. I think Kane and Kulusevski again have to be there. I mean, Sam will try to convince you to go with Heung-Min Son simply because she loves him and he's in her team. But I think Kulusevski right now has that momentum. And it looks like a lot of ball goes to that right-hand side anyway, him and Doherty. I think Doherty would come in the team as well for me. And Son is used more as a finisher now than actually a creator on the left-hand side. And I still think that Kane is the best finisher in that team. He's on really good form too. So Doherty, Kulusevski and Kane, I think, are perfect 3 from Spurs this weekend.
Yeah, Kulusevski's an interesting one. He's priced at 6.2 million. He's got 7 attacking returns in 7 starts. He does look like being a bit of a bargain, but Sam, I'm going to let you take over here as Mrs. Spurs. Jules is already trying to wind you up there, saying that he's a better option than Son because he knows you're going to say Son because you've got him. Which way are you leaning?
I actually would go on the camp of having both of them, to be honest. I think that, for me anyway, if you're going to invest triple Spurs, the ideal solution would be to have Kane, Son and Kulusevski for this game week. I think they offer such huge potential. Son, I know that Jules is winding me up, but genuinely, Son should have and could have scored over the last few weeks. And I think, you know, watching him last night, looking at his underlying stats, at home against West Ham, he averages 8 points per match. So it's not like he's, you know, it's not like he's a hugely worse pick than Kane on paper. But I think having all three of them makes a lot of sense. Now, I have some slight, as a Doherty owner myself, I have some slight concerns about him. He was taken off after Conte showed a bit of frustration with him last night and replaced by Emerson Royale. And we have seen Conte make changes in the past when he starts to get frustrated, particularly in those wing-back positions. So could we see a change? I mean, I hope not, and I don't see it. Doherty has been really good in the last few weeks, so hopefully he keeps his spot. But I think if you're free-hitting, I'd go with the three attacking boys. Now, that's going to be much more difficult if you're just doing it on transfers, and in which case, then, I wouldn't sacrifice Son. So as a Son owner, I want Kane for this week. I'm going to be bringing him in as part of my transfers this time around. That's going to give me three players already in Kane, Son, and Doherty. I don't think I want to take another hit to take out Son for Kulusevski.
Harry Kane also does very well versus West Ham. 17 appearances, 11 goals and 2 assists. Where are you sitting on the Spurs fence at the moment, Tom?
I am sitting on the Doherty and Kane bits. I don't know. I was trying to visualise what it would look like for me to be sitting on a fence.
It's probably quite up and down, yeah, given Spurs form.
Well, yeah, very much so. An undulating fence. Yeah, so I've got Matt Doherty, brought him in for Ryan Sessegnon. Sessegnon got injured, and I've got Harry Kane as well. I kind of wish I had Kulusevski because, as previously mentioned, it feels like everyone else in all my mini leagues has got him. I am planning to make a midfield change this week, but I think I'm probably going to go Harvey Barnes rather than Kulusevski. Partly because I think he's got a bit of differential potential, Harvey Barnes, and also Leicester with all those games in hand. I think Leicester signings are generally quite handy to have. So yeah, I'll be going into this with only two Spurs players.
Ooh, brave. Only two from Antonio Conte's side. Okay, let's move on to Arsenal. They face Aston Villa. They actually travel to Villa Park. Should we be looking at three Arsenal players as well if free hitting, Tom?
I think if I was free hitting, I probably would bring in three Arsenal players, but this is a difficult game to call because although Villa lost at the weekend, they have shown improved form recently. They've been particularly impressive at home. So I don't feel like this is a guaranteed Arsenal win. And I think that for me is just, you know, sort of further reason not to free hit, if you like, because this is another one of those games that's difficult to call. I've got two Arsenal players in Kieran Tierney and Bukayo Saka. I've got Jacob Ramsey at Villa, who showed, you know, what a useful FPL player he can be while sitting on my bench in scoring in that.
I did that too at
the weekend. I mean, one thing about Villa, like looking at their long-term fixtures, or even their sort of short to medium term fixtures, they're not great. And when everyone was piling in on your Matty Cashes and your Felipe Coutinho, who's prior to that recent Villa double game week, I sort of looked at how their fixtures were about to turn and held back. And I mean, that cost me racking up an absolute mountain of points when everyone else was racking up points with those Villa players. But Villa have got Arsenal at home, Wolves away, Spurs at home, Liverpool at home, and then Leicester away before the fixtures get a little bit better. So yeah, only going into this one with one Villa player, but in the long term, I'm quite comfortable with that.
Let's focus in a little bit more on Arsenal then, Sam, because Bukayo Saka was one of the most targeted players going into double game week 29. He didn't provide any returns, just 5 points across the two games. But is he still a good asset this week? Would you still recommend to people to bring him in on free hit?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think, you know, yes, he didn't return this time around, but I thought Arsenal were a bit off it last night against Liverpool. At the weekend, he probably should have returned. So, you know, there are some times where in FPL, the luck just doesn't go your way. And I think that was probably the case for Saka in game week 29. Looking ahead to game week 30, I think, you know, Aston Villa defensively, they've not been keeping a huge amount of clean sheets of late. And with Luka Dean's potential injury going into this one, they could be a bit defensively weaker anyway. That could bode well for Saka. I think I would be investing in him if I didn't have him already, particularly as the Arsenal fixtures beyond game week 30 are so nice. So if you invest in Saka now, you can hold him until the end of the season quite happily.
Is the Arsenal attack the way to go when targeting Arsenal players, Jules?
That's a good one. I see a lot of goals in this one. I think the two teams are going to attack anyway. So I don't think we should expect many defensive returns in that game. However, you know that, well, fullbacks, especially Tierney on one side and I think Matty Cash on the other side, could bring a lot going forward. We saw Matty Cash in great form for Arsenal. Yeah, I think Saka, Martinelli, who could easily have had an assist or two against Liverpool, Odegaard could have scored. I had that big chance at 0-0 against Liverpool as well, although he's much better in creating and the second assist, which, by the way, I think our bosses and, you know, the FPL bosses should start thinking about points for second assist, because sometimes the second assist is far harder to make and much more beautiful than the assist in itself, and yet you get nothing for it. So
I mean, I'd have smashed it this week.
Yeah, Jules, you would have had as many points as Lee Bonfield, but you didn't.
I probably would be winning FPL.
I think you would. So would I, to be fair. But this is so one, you know, food for thought for our bosses. More seriously, you can go for Odegaard, because I think he's such in good form. There's a lot for him to get and points to get. But yeah, I think for a game like the one against Villa, I don't see Arsenal keeping a clean sheet. So if you've got Ramsdale or White or Gabriel, I think there will be a lot of goals in there. So they can score on set pieces, not for Ramsdale. But yeah, I think going attacking players are probably a better option.
I'm surprised you haven't mentioned Alexander Lacazette. He got the penalty against Leicester, and Liverpool was the first game in six where he hasn't returned.
So this is the truth, right? He says to me, why am I not in your team? I said, I will jinx you if I bring you back in the team when you've been doing so well. So we both agreed that right now, I don't put him in the team. He keeps doing well. He keeps getting points for other people who have him, although he's on low ownership. So he's a good differential to have. And just by pure friendship, I decided not to put him in my team.
But he's a good FPL asset at the moment, no?
I think he's a very good FPL asset. He's a lot involved. And yeah, of course, he could score more goals. I think between the assists, the goals that he will score, the penalties that he will take, I think he's definitely someone you should keep in mind.
Yeah, 8.4 million as well. Not too expensive. Okay, so that's Arsenal covered off. A few options there, though the guys are suggesting that maybe it's in attack you should look at. That suggests that Aston Villa should score. Perfect for Philippe Coutinho. 3 double digits in his last 7, Tom. He looks, and from what Steven Gerrard's saying as well, as if he's back to his best.
Yeah, he's probably the FPL player who I'm most anxious about going into this game week as a non-Coutinho owner, because when I was doing my wildcard master plan ahead of game week 28, there were times when he was in the team, there were times when he was out of the team, and I finally didn't pick him, and then it backfired immediately. And I think the thing with Coutinho is he's such an exceptional player. He, you know, his long range shooting is exceptional. He doesn't necessarily need his team to be playing all that well to pop up with points, because he is that sort of classic player who can just produce something out of nothing. I agree with Jules. I think this will be probably quite an open game. We know that Steven Gerrard likes Villa to be really up and at them. And Arsenal, you know, prior to that defeat against Liverpool last night, were on a really good run. So, yeah, there could well be goals in this. And I think if there are goals in this for Villa, then you'd expect Coutinho to be pretty heavily involved.
Okay, let's go across the Midlands now to Wolves. That takes place on Friday night. Wolves hosting Leeds. Can we trust their defence again now, do you think, Sam? They've got 2 in a row.
Well, you would think so, wouldn't you? But the problem with the Wolves' defence is they have been so up and down. And I think if you have a Wolves defender, you know, the likes of Cody and Sias, they always have a little bit of attacking threat, as we saw from Cody in game week 29. And with the way that Leeds have been defending, you would expect that there would be goals in this game for Wolves. So I think if you have a Wolves defender, you 100% play them if you have one. But if you're free hitting, you definitely get a Wolves defender in. And actually, you could buy one in as part of a free transfer if you're looking for a defender this weekend, because they do have the perfect opportunity here against a Leeds side that are struggling defensively to get attacking returns and maybe even keep a clean sheet too.
Who's the best defensive option, do you think? I can see Jules writing down notes here, so he's probably going to write down whichever defender you say. Who would you recommend Julian Laurent brings into his team?
I think of all of them, I like Connor Cody actually the best. I think he is so good from set pieces. I mean, I do really like Sias, and I think he could be a really nice option this weekend. So it would be between those two for me. But I think I would just err on the side of their captain and go with Cody.
Okay, so that's me putting Bully Bolly is in, and Aïd Nouri as well. Thank you, Sam, very much.
Always mean, isn't he? Okay, so there are some defensive options for Wolves, but in attack, what about Raul Jimenez? One return in his last five matches. Are you convinced by him at the moment, Tom?
Yeah, I've got him. I brought him in my game week 28 wildcards, and then he was benched for the home game at Palace, but then he started in the 4-0 win over Watford and got a goal. So I'm hopeful that having had that rest against Palace, and he also started the previous game on the bench away at West Ham. So I'm pretty confident he'll start this game. I mean, as we know, that Watford game aside, and sorry to keep banging on about a heavy Watford defeat, Kelly, but Wolves tend not to score too many goals. So I think even if they do win this one, it probably won't be by many. I've got both Jose Sarr and Connor Cody. So I'm hoping for a Wolves clean sheet. And yeah, hopefully, you know, Raul Jimenez can rediscover his shooting boots as well.
Okay, so some options there for Wolves for you, Jules. But as for Leeds, is Rafinha the only option that you would consider? He's actually got a really high expected goal involvement of 2.83 from the last three, but just isn't quite getting the returns that we'd like as managers.
No, that's true. And I think even his expected assist is really high. I mean, there was the assist, of course, on the Joe Gallagher winning goal at the weekend, which I think was huge. It's funny because I think Rafinha has to be in Europe the players with the most expected expectation that we've ever known, because every time we look at the numbers and they're incredible, and yet on the pitch, it still could be so much better. I think there's a point where he will turn. I mean, I know we always say it, but there's a point where he will turn, and maybe that was that 92nd or 3rd minute assist on the goal at the weekend. I think maybe more than Bielsa, Jesse Marsh is going to sort of free him a bit, in the sense that no man marking defensively for you, Rafinha, because you're far too good for it with the ball. So Rafinha, I think, has to be a contender for everybody who are free hitting or wildcarding or whatever, if you don't have him already. I think Patrick Bamford is another interesting one, because okay, it's only 1 point against Norwich at the weekend, but you saw already how much he brought to this team in terms of his runs and being involved and what he created, and he could easily have scored too. So it might be a little bit early to bring Bamford, and we might need to just wait a little bit more to see even physically if he can respond off playing again, you know, after being out for so long. But I think considering he's owned by 0.3% of the managers, if you're looking for a differential and are ready for a bit of a gamble, maybe Bamford is your answer.
Okay, Leicester welcome Brentford in the final game of blank game week 30. And on paper, this looks like a nice fixture for the Foxes. But as I said, Brentford have won their last two. And I think it's safe to say Brendan Rodgers' side have been pretty unreliable this season, Tom. Any interest from an FPL point of view for you in this one?
Yeah, so as I said, I'm probably going to bring in Harvey Barnes. I think this is a good fixture for Leicester, who have shown some signs of improvement in recent weeks. And then again, as sort of long-term investments, because Leicester have got all those games in hand still to play, it does make sense to bring in Leicester players. I think one note of caution that I would sound from a Leicester perspective is that Brentford have suddenly come back into form. We've seen the immediate impact that Christian Eriksen has had in terms of their attacking football. Ivan Toney is suddenly banging the goals in again the second that I take him out of my team. So a few weeks back, you might have seen this as a fairly straightforward Leicester win, but I think the way that Brentford are going, it could be quite a close game this. So yeah, I'm looking to bring in Harvey Barnes, and hoping that Ivan Toney doesn't come back to bite me.
Yeah, Harvey Barnes is getting a lot of attention for you at the moment, Sam. Would he be the Leicester attacker of choice?
Yeah, for sure. I think if I was going to go for a Leicester attacker, it would absolutely be Harvey Barnes. I think, you know, going into game week 30, when I started thinking about it a few weeks ago, Jamie Vardy was obviously right up there on the radar and was a potential captain option. The injury to him means that he's out. But for me, it's the Brentford side that I'm really interested in going into this one. And I think, you know, Tom's already mentioned Christian Eriksen. He would absolutely be a player that I would have in on any free hit draft that I was doing for this game week. Leicester have kept just two clean sheets since game week 20, and in that time they've conceded 12 goals. They've also conceded 22 attempts from set pieces since game week 26. Only Norwich and Spurs have conceded more than that. And who's on set pieces? Well, of course, it's the maestro Christian Eriksen. And we saw Thomas Frank being very cautious with the Dane, and rightly so after what happened during Euro 2020. But he started now in the last two Premier League games and played 90 minutes. He is absolutely flying. And I think he'll go into that Leicester game against a defence that have been weak, absolutely brimming with confidence. And he's one that is very, very high on my wish list for this week.
His performances and introduction into the team have also helped Ivan Toney, haven't they? 7 goals from the last 4 for the Brentford front man. He's also got 3 goals in his last 2 just from the penalty spot. And Leicester have faced 7 this season. That's the second most in the division. Are you going to be considering Toney for your team, Jules?
Yeah, both Eriksen and Toney. Eriksen is owned by 0.5% of the managers, which I think, again, if you're looking for big differential, this is the one, really. I agree with Sam. I think this is the right time to bring him in. He's been called back by the Danish national team as well, which you can just imagine what kind of boost this must feel for him and the family and everybody involved with Brentford as well. So I think this is a really good time for Eriksen to come on and the relationship between him and Ivan Toney. Certainly, remember all the hype we had with Toney at the start of the season. Then he really struggled, I think, to adapt and to be at his best in the first 3 months of the season. And now he looks like, even physically, he looks so much better than what we saw around the turn of the year, for example. So Toney and Eriksen, I mean, I've got 20 names on my list already, you know, mostly coming from Tom. So I'll... okay. I mean, this one was, I'm sorry, Sam.
we're going to fall out today, Jules.
Never. You know how much I love you.
You wait until all my picks go absolutely mental this week. And I'll be messaging you going, you see, Jules, you see.
Okay, I'll tell you what, Jules, I'll intervene, shall I? Because myself and Tom just sitting here on this call very awkwardly whilst you two are battling it out over FPL players. That caps off our preview of blank game week 30 very nicely indeed. Let's now move on to the long view. Okay, the one benefit to having fewer games to preview is being able to delve back into the long view. This is where we use the Premier League's fixture difficulty rating tool to rank just how good or bad a team's upcoming run is. Now, firstly, Sam, for managers wanting to plan a little bit further, once we have blank game week 30 out of the way, would then be a good time to wildcard if managers still have their second one available?
Yeah, I mean, that's my current plan, which means Jules will tell you it's absolutely the wrong time to wildcard. But I think for me, going into game week 31 makes perfect sense. Obviously, 31 itself, we now know to be a double game week. And then you've got the big double game weeks coming game week 33, although, you know, as we mentioned a couple of times, the FA Cup will have an impact there. But that means that for somebody like myself, who's still got the bench boost chip in play as well, I've got the opportunity to hit the wildcard button, set my team up nicely, then hit that bench boost in game week 33 and still have my free hit chip remaining for the latter game weeks that need to be rearranged too. So absolutely think that the way that the fixtures are swinging at the moment, and we've got some teams that are finding form, we've got some teams that are coming into a nice batch of games, and we've also got other teams who are really fighting for something. So they're fighting for European football next season, or they're fighting to avoid relegation. Those are the teams that I always look to target right at the end of the season. And so a wild card now allows me to see those players that are really fighting for their lives or fighting for something important and invest in them.
Okay, let's check out the teams at the top of the FDR then. And Burnley at the moment are top, and they certainly have plenty to play for, don't they? Trying to stay in the Premier League. Plus, they have a double in game weeks 31 and 33 with Norwich in between. Can you make a case for any Clarets players, Tom? Or is that not enough to convince you?
No, I've been stung by Burnley before. They had their chance. No, I'm still getting over that double game week when I captained Wout Weghorst, having fallen in love with him over his sort of first 2 or 3 Burnley appearances, and it backfired. But I mean, you know, Burnley, we know what sort of team Burnley are. Every now and again, you know, they surprise you, and they've got that capacity to just pull a performance out of the bag, sometimes even when their form is disappointing. But from an FPL perspective, I just find them flaky as anything. And I have been stung so many times of late by prioritising juicy looking double game weeks over players with, you know, perfectly serviceable single game week fixtures. So I will not be touching any Burnley players with a barge pole for the foreseeable future.
Well, I noticed that Wout Weghorst is still in both Sam and Jules' teams.
Oh, yeah.
Jules, are you going to be holding?
I mean, you can't gamble against the Wout, you know. Wout Weghorst has to be in your team, and you have to be annoyed with him when he does nothing at all, which is more often than not, really. But I don't know, there's something about him that you think once Dwight McNeil has understood, or Maxwell Cornet, where to put the ball. Surely he will score. The problem we have is that we don't know when they will get it and when they will actually give him the good service that he deserves. But you need to hope. You know, hope is what kills you in a way, to be fair.
Sam, will he be surviving the cull on wildcard?
Oh, I don't know yet. I think he's one of those players that is really difficult to know what to do with. I mean, the double game week in 31 is difficult because it's got Manchester City as part of it. But then it does have Everton in there too. But that's a real 6-point relegation battle at the bottom of the league. So I don't think that game's going to have loads and loads of goals in it. It'll be a cagey affair. So I don't see loads of returns for him in 31. Looking at the fixtures in 33, it's West Ham and Southampton. Again, you know, they could be difficult games. Particularly West Ham, they've got something to fight for at the top of the league in terms of European football. So tough to decide what to do with Weghorst. He might just survive the wild card because he's also really cheap and I can bench him quite happily. And as somebody that's looking to bench boost in and around the double game week in 33, maybe actually he might be a nice asset to just hold on to if I can rejig some money and make him my cheapest forward asset.
Leeds fixtures are about to get tough. If managers have had Rafinha with this blank game week 30 in mind, Jules, would after this be a good time to sell him?
So I think they've got Wolves away and then Southampton at home, Watford away, which is an easy game, of course. And then it gets a bit harder with Chelsea and City coming, you know, like almost back to back. I think there's maybe the Crystal Palace game in between or something like that. So maybe wait to see a little bit the Jesse Marsh effect as well and how they're playing and everything. So I think keep him or keep the Leeds player that you have maybe for Wolves and then the next two after that. And then you can assess maybe your position a bit more after that. But I think you should keep for now. Again, I can't stress enough the momentum that Norwich win would have on this team. I mean, Jesse Marsh even said that I think he will take that win on his deathbed or something crazy like that. So, I mean, clearly it has had a big impact on them. So let's see how well they can continue and follow up from it.
If you look at Rafinha's last three league goals, they were scored against Man United, Arsenal and Chelsea, which shows that he is a player who, even when the fixtures are tricky, he can still be counted on to return. So having made the mistake earlier in the season of taking him out of my team because I thought he might struggle for points because of Leeds fixtures taking a dip, I am not going to be making the same mistake again, because I think that even if Leeds are playing one of the top teams, Rafinha is so good that he's still capable of producing the goods.
Okay, well, that's the long view covered off. As I've said a few times, next week's podcast will look further into the distance because it does sound like that second wild card could be well timed for next week if you still have it. So make sure you tune in next week. For now, though, it's decision time for Game Week 30. Okay, so time to see what our panels are doing with their transfers and captains. Jules, you have been sitting there beavering away, writing down so many suggestions. Earlier, you said you had around 20 players. Unfortunately, I'm not sure if you're aware of the rules. You can't have 20 players.
Fair enough,
who are your certainties in your team from what we've said so far?
So I think Coutinho will come in. I think Kane, we said Kane Kulusevski. Then do I go for Doherty, for example, or Heung-min Son to follow Sam, who I love her ideas all the time. You know, I'm not sure in terms of Wolves what defender to go for again. There's a lot of thinking to do. I hate free hits because you end up thinking so much about it that you get overwhelmed and then you make maybe the calls that you would not have made normally. So I'll have to think carefully between the deadline of Friday. I think Eriksen, Rafinha, we mentioned, Harvey Barnes was mentioned too. Wow, there's too many. If I can play in like a 2-7-1 formation, I think I'll go for it and have all those midfielders in.
Unfortunately, just like having 20 players, 2-7-1 formation isn't permitted either.
You sure?
Okay. I can confirm. Okay, let's move on to Tom and Sam's transfers. Sam, you said you need to get Harry Kane in. How are you going to do that?
I'm going to sell Salah.
And hang on, Harry Kane was not in your team.
Oh, God. Jules, where have you been for this whole podcast?
Have you been listening?
Oh, no, he isn't currently in my team, he will. I know it's terrible, really, isn't it? And I have to issue at this point a public apology to Harry Kane for not owning him so far. As his number one fan, it is sacrilege that he hasn't been in there so far. But he will be in there for game week 30, which means he's almost guaranteed to blank. So he'll be coming in this time around. Because I'm wildcarding in game week 31, I'm more than happy to sell Mohamed Salah this time around. I only have like 0.1, 0.2 to lose in him. So actually, in terms of getting him back in again straight after, it's a very easy process to do on wildcard. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend doing that if you haven't got a plan to bring Salah back again afterwards. But if you're wildcarding and you can, then going in on him as a transfer out to have Kane makes a lot of sense. And I'm also in Salah's place going to go for the old nostalgia pick and bring in Christian Eriksen. I genuinely do think that Brentford might have a bit of an upset in that Leicester game. And I think Eriksen's set piece threat makes him a really nice option. So it'll be a -4 for me this week with Kane and Eriksen coming in.
And Tom, you've said you're bringing in Harvey Barnes. Is that your only transfer?
Currently, yes. So Joe Willock out, Harvey Barnes in. That'll leave me with 10 players. I've thought about maybe doing Reece James out and maybe Matty Cash in. But I think given the fact that Reece James looks like he's going to be back fit pretty swiftly, that feels like just the sort of transfer that I'll end up regretting, which probably makes me even more likely to do it, to be honest, because that has very much been the theme of my my season in recent weeks. But yeah, I'm going to try and be sensible, just do the one transfer and go into this this game with 10 players.
Okay, finally, captaincy then. Jules, I know you haven't settled on your team yet, but is Harry Kane going to get your armband?
I think so. I think because, you know, unlike Sam, and he knows that. He knows that I've been loyal to him the whole time. He's very disappointed by what Sam has done this season as a number one fan. And I think he deserves the armband this week again.
Sam, do I even need to ask?
I mean, the thing is, maybe it's a bit like you and Lacazette. Jules. Maybe actually he's performing well because I don't own him. But yeah, so I am absolutely 100% going to captain Harry Kane this weekend. I can't wait to give him the armband.
And do we have a full house of Kane captainers, Tom?
We do indeed. This is not a week for overthinking things, being a hero. If you've got Harry Kane, give him the armband.
Perfect. Nice and decisive. That is where we'll leave it. Tom, Sam and Jules, thank you so much. Jules, the best of luck getting those 20 players down into a squad. Remember, fantasy.premierleague.com is where you need to go for even more info. The FBL show will be on the app after Everton versus Newcastle later on tonight too. Your deadline is Friday this week at 6:30. Do not miss it. That's ahead of Wolves versus Leeds. That's less than 24 hours after the final game of Double Game Week 29. Also, we'll be back next week too. Despite it being an international break, we will still be here looking further into the distance. Have a great week and we'll see you next time.